Well, today I'm going to finish the teaching series called True Worshippers. And then next week I'm going to start a new series called The Spirit Man. The Lord has really put this on my heart. I believe that the church has forgotten how to operate in the person of their spirit. And the things in the first century church, when they were caught up in the spirit or they were transported from here to there, like Philip, were common. But the church has forgotten how to operate in their spirit, by their spirit, connected with the Holy Spirit. So strap in. Next week, I'm going to start a deep dive into the biblical principles of how to operate in your spirit man or your spirit woman. But today, I'm going to finish on the True Worshipper series. I pray that you've been as wrecked as I am going through that. God has done some amazing things. See, here's what Jesus says in John 4, 23 and 24. Jesus says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kinds of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." See, what Jesus is saying, there are those that worship God, and then there are those that worship Him in spirit and truth. And if you're born again or saved, you're not automatically worshiping Him in spirit or truth. And God says those that worship Him, the true worshipers, are the kind that the Father seeks. So the question we have to ask ourselves when we come into worship is, am I the kind of worshiper the Father seeks? Now, I can tell you in this house, I'm so proud of you, because there's such a freedom and a hunger. And nothing keeps the heavens open more than hunger. Hunger is the breath of the Holy Spirit in us. Listen, hunger is the breath of the Holy Spirit in us, breathed into heaven, that keeps the doors of heaven open. Come on. Whew. Stay hungry, my friends. Whew. Some sort of commercial that says, "Stay thirsty, my friends." But let me say in this place, stay hungry, my friends. Last time I taught on true worshipers, I taught about keep digging the wells. The wells are deep, 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 and they're to go deeper. But today I'm going to conclude with a final truth about being a true worshiper. It's found in Psalm 96. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. Holy Spirit, now it's your turn. Mighty rushing wind, release your fire over us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and sing your new song to the Lord. Let everyone in every language sing Him a new song. By the way, everything God does requires a new song to make it known. Let me continue. Don't stop. Keep on singing. Make His name famous. Tell everyone every day how wonderful He is. Give them the good news of our great Savior. Take the message of His glory and the miracles to the nations. Tell Him about all the amazing things He has done. For the Lord's greatness is beyond description. He deserves all the praise that comes to Him. He is our King God, and it is right to be in holy awe of Him. Other gods are absolutely worthless. For the Lord God is Creator God, who spread the splendor of the skies. Breathtaking brilliance and awe-inspiring majesty radiate from His shiny presence. His shiny beauty overwhelms all who come before Him. Surrender to the Lord Yahweh, all you nations and peoples. Surrender to Him all your pride and strength. Confess that Jehovah alone deserves all the glory and honor. Bring an offering and come celebrate in His courts. Come worship the Lord God wearing the splendor of holiness. Let everyone wait in wonder as they tremble in awe before Him. Woo. Amen. When our desire to draw ever closer to God as our Father becomes our desire to draw ever closer to God as our righteous judge, then our worship to Him becomes 24/7. This is the end game of worship. The question that I must ask myself to determine my desire to worship is this. If I accept God's forgiveness, do I fully accept His judgment? This psalm teaches us how to worship God as our righteous judge. Why? Because to know the Father is to know the judge. And to know the judge is to know the Father. To be fully known is to know Him fully as both. Loved ones in worship, it's time to approach the bench. I cannot tell you the number of times I run into believers who fear His judgment more than Him, even though they know they're saved, who get caught up in their mind that somehow, some way, I got to ask God for forgiveness because I screwed up for something. And if I grieve Him, He's got to be judging me for something. But God, your righteous judge, is waiting for you. He wants you to know Him as your only judge. And that begins in worship. See, in Christ, God is no longer the righteous judge. He is your only judge. And that begins in worship. For many, they don't associate God as the righteous judge and worship. People don't put those two together. They keep them apart. Like when I worship God, He's my daddy, He's my Abba, He's my father, yes. But when I think of Him as righteous judge, I don't think of Him as worshiping Him for that. I think of worshiping Him as my Father in heaven. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to keep these two names apart. He wants you to worship one of the names of God, but not all of the names of God. Because He was judged. He wants to keep you away from the judge so that you can be judged by Him, the devil. Because the devil was judged, the devil wants to keep you away from the righteous judge so you can be judged by the devil, the father of lies. At the root of worship, is which father will you let father you? father of lies will judge you. The father of truth is your only judge. And it is in worship that the two become one in you. I want to teach you how to worship God as the righteous judge. I realize something that it's not taught very often or if ever. But the Bible tells us that there is a freedom to worship Him as the righteous judge. See, God the Father breaks the orphan spirit, but it's God the righteous judge who breaks the condemning spirit. And if you are still feeling condemned, if you struggle with condemnation from time to time, it is because you are not worshiping the Lord God as your only judge. Jesus made this bold statement. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, I don't know how to approach the righteous judge. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now let me ask you, where does Jesus sit? Next to who? The Father, the righteous judge on the throne. So when you go to Jesus, who is it that you see? The righteous judge. Loved ones, it's time to approach the bench and worship. Because when you approach the bench in worship, you are free indeed. How do I do this? Psalm 96:8 tells us, confess that Jehovah alone deserves all the glory and honor. Bring an offering and come celebrate in His courts. The Bible is saying when I make my life an offering to God, I approach my righteous judge and my life becomes an act of worship. This requires us to become an offering. Jesus was our offering to approach God as the Father. But we must become an offering to approach God as the righteous judge. The ultimate result of my worship is this. When I approach my Father as my only judge, I'm able to walk in the complete freedom Christ paid for. Do you struggle with condemnation? It's time to approach the bench. True worshipers make their life an offering. It is the highest calling of worship. It means what we do in here in worship must manifest out there as worship. And it does when our life becomes an offering to God. When the works that we do reflect our faith, not our salvation. Imagine for a minute what might this look like. I was with a group of senior pastors a couple weeks ago, and the facilitator said, so there's about 12 of us, and he said, okay, just so we can get to know one another, Tell us your name, how long you've been pastoring that church, and just share one thing you love about your church. So they were going around, and they were all saying things, and I got to me, and I'm, you know, Pastor Samuel Gallucci, and been pastoring Embrace for 12 years now, and the one thing that I love the most about our church is the hunger they have. Come on. Think about what we do here in worship. We hunger and thirst for Him, and our expressions of worship demonstrate it on Sunday. But now what God is saying, your expressions of giving need to demonstrate it the rest of the week. In our business dealings, in our social settings, in our family gatherings, God is calling His church to a new thing in worship, to make what we do in here be reflected out there, to be the greatest in the kingdom is to be a servant of all. When our life becomes an offering, we become the kind of worshipers the Father seeks outside these walls. Outside these walls. Loved ones, what can you give to a holy, righteous God that's given everything to you? What can I give to Him when I worship Him? I can give Him the gift of giving. That's why He says, give and it will be given to you. I want to take you on this journey of revelation about this key truth. We need to make our life an offering, and the Bible says we do that when what we confess, we give. When what you confess, you give. Psalm 96, 7 and 8. I have 8 on the screen, but 7 says, surrender to the Lord Yahweh, all you nations. Surrender to Him all your strength and pride. And then it says, confess that Jehovah alone deserves glory and honor. This word, Yahweh and Jehovah, those words are used to describe surrender to the righteous judge. This psalm is about declaring and worshiping the righteous judge. And to do that, we must surrender our pride and strength. Do you know the greatest difficulty of surrendering our pride and strength? Is our inability to give. In my life, if I've learned anything, and I'm still learning, I've learned to give. I give everything. The Bible says, worship Him as judge. When we bring an offering of confession, this word confess, literally, yahav is the Hebrew word yahav. It means, listen, it means to give, but it means to set in place. Listen, this word means to provide a permit for Him to come to you now. Confess. To provide a permit for Him to come to you now. The Hebrew word here is used as an act of worship to assign His glory to your life. When you know you have assigned His glory to your life is when you set in place or give. That's when you assign His glory to your life. What has He given you? Are you giving it away? What has He given you? Are you giving it away, all of it? This is a kingdom of heaven permit. that God wants to affix to the windshield of your heart when your life is a life of giving. Your life is a life of worship. We got to stop groveling about the whole idea of giving. That's the enemy. Because of his son, it is his will to honor whatever you give. It's his will to honor whenever you give what you have received. That is his will. Do you realize that? It is God's will to honor whatever you give because of what you've received. God, as our judge, is to produce freedom, not fear. And this happens when we confess by our giving. When we confess his life by our giving. Here's the point. Your life must become an offering of worship, not based on what you do or don't do, but based on what you give or don't give. That's when our life becomes an offering, an act of worship. It's a legal agreement, a permit you receive from heaven. I talk to so many who want to receive more. They want to receive more. Man, I've been to this class and I've been to that. I've been to this and that. And now I want to go away and do something else. But God is saying he can't fill a cup that's full. You've got to release what he's given you. Now, I know that giving is taught about from time to time, and in a lot of places it's taught all the time, but in this house, for me, giving is about worship. And the three things that we already know, it's our time, it's our talent, it's our treasures, your time. That's how we spell love. That's how God spells love, T-I-M-E. In the marketplace is not a problem for most of us. We go to work, we have obligations, we got to make a living, we spend time in the marketplace. Do we spend that time at home? Do we give of our time? And do we spend that time in our church? Do we serve in his house of worship? Your talents. What has God taught you? You must give it away. Every time you're taught something, give it all away. Jesus taught Paul this, and Paul is teaching Timothy. He says, fan into flame the gifts by the laying on of hands. You and I must deliver or impart what God has given us. We must fan it into flame. If you've been prophesied to, prophesy to someone. If you've been healed, go pray for healing for someone. If you've gotten a prophetic word from the Lord, speak it out to someone. If you've encountered a freedom, share that freedom with someone. What has he given you? Your talents. Give back to him. That's what this word, that's what this scripture is about. It's about worshiping God as the righteous judge. It says, confess that Jehovah alone deserves all the glory by bringing an offering into his court. This offering is a confession. And it demands a response. It's a legal permit. Because you know that it's not a work of works for salvation, but it's a work of grace that I give back to you. Psalm 119:26. I've poured out my life before you, and you've always been there for me. So now I ask, teach me more of your holy creeds. The more you pour out, the more he pours in. I can tell you that I've poured out my life for God. And I'm just me. No one special. I've poured out everything I can these last 20 years. And if I've learned anything, the more I pour out, the more he pours in. And I've learned something about giving. There's a huge permit on my heart that commands a blessing, that gives the legal right for me to operate in this freedom because I walk in the freedom of giving. And God will draw closer to you than you can ever imagine. Do you know how to spell faith? G-I-V-E. I've got faith, do you give? But I got faith, do you give? It's like, I love you. It's like telling your wife, I love you, but you're never home. Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that he gave his life for a friend. And when you worship in this truth, you bring all your giving before him. Your worship becomes a sacrifice of praise. And your heavenly Father draws near to you as your righteous judge, and you realize something. He's your only judge. But you cannot realize that if you're not giving. I'm not talking just about financially. I'm talking about your life, pouring out your life for him, giving everything he's given you and pouring it out in all the ways you can. It includes financial. And you're no longer afraid of him punishing you like your earthly father. And even when you grieve him, you know he still operates in grace in your life. Because God is in a good mood and his mood is grace. God, let my worship become my life, and let my life become an offering to you. I freely, gladly approach the bench. Not because of works, but because of love. Because of what you've given me, I freely approach the bench. My life becomes a life of giving. I realize something. afraid to give. In fact, I gladly give. I joyously give. I pour out everything. I'm really not that smart. But the moment he gives me something, I give it away. And it keeps coming, it keeps coming, it keeps coming. It keeps coming, it keeps coming. What has he given you that you can give back to him in your life? You see, you and I must make our life a life of giving. Approach the bench every time. You see your Lord as the only one to fear. You do not fear judgment. And the devil is far from you. What is it that you can give God? True worshipers make their life an offering. They are the type of worshipers the Father seeks. There's this in your bulletin. If you're not serving here, we could use your help. Just mark one of these ways and fill this out and hand it in the information table on your way out. But I believe all over this room today, God is going to give you a revelation. Probably tugging at your heart right now. Where are you to give your time? Where and what are you to give your talents to? And are you giving of your treasures? Let's stand. Text shows us something that is not the way the world sees things or does things. Because the kingdom operates in freedom. And freedom becomes our facts from which our life flows. And the Bible says, Father, all over this room, we ask that this revelation you teach us deeply in our soul, that this revelation becomes a mighty breakthrough from any bondage of judgment, that this revelation becomes the act that breaks the chains, the bonds, fully and completely, that this revelation of giving brings me fully into that place of freedom. Not fear. That this revelation settles the matter that I only have one judge, and he's righteous, and his verdict is innocent because of the cross. Right now, we're just going to worship.